Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and a company update coming from Bunker Hill Mining. Traded on the CSE under the symbol BNKR and on the OTCQB under the symbol BHLL. We are chatting with the CFO, David Weens. Bunker Hill Mining is focused at the historical Bunker Hill Mine in Idaho. The company is working to bring this historic mine back into production. And we had some news that broke actually just today that helps move this company forward. The company announced a MOU with Teck for the purchase of the Ponderé processing plant. Now, this is in eastern Washington, approximately 145 miles away from the Bunker Hill Mine. This processing plant was put on care and maintenance back in 2019, so not all that long ago. David, start us off with big picture here. What is so critical for now signing this purchase agreement for this processing plant to help move the company and that Bunker Hill mine forward closer to production, please?
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me back on. And it cannot be, in my view, understated how massive this is for the company and for the restart of the Bunker Hill mine. The one thing that Bunker Hill was missing and is missing up until now was a process plant. Everybody knows we've got in-place infrastructure underground, on surface. You know, we're close to transport and other infrastructure. We've got grid power, but we didn't have a process plant, and now we have one. So not only does this fill in that final gap and de-risk the project very significantly, but it does so potentially at a lower cost than what we had budgeted for in the latest preliminary economic assessment that we put out a couple of months ago. So as you would have seen in the release, this includes everything we need for exactly what we planned in terms of a 1,500 ton per day operation at Bunker Hill, production of lead and zinc concentrates, just as was produced at the Ponderé operation when it was in operation, includes over 250 major pieces of equipment, crushing, grinding, flotation circuits, total inventory of approximately 10,000 components and parts for the mill, assay lab, conveyor, field instruments, electrical spares. And as you mentioned right off the top, 145 miles away, which makes a huge difference, not only in terms of the ability to get it to Bunker Hill quickly, but also in terms of access to skilled personnel, many of which have personally worked at the Ponderé operation when it was in operation and have been involved in the care and maintenance of it since then. And it's in excellent condition. So it's a big win for Bunker Hill and a massive de-risking of the project.
Yeah, David, it's really the last piece of the puzzle to get everything to come into focus for the company on the pathway to production was getting this mill in place. And as we were joking about before we started recording, this sure beats the heck out of trying to get it from some other country and shipping it across the ocean and getting it into the United States. 145 miles away is not too shabby. But would you break down a little bit more the disparity in where the company has saved some here versus what you had budgeted for in the PEA? You had budgeted $20 million to get a mill up and built. How does this maybe have some optionality to save the company some money and also expedite the process?
Great question, Chad. So as you allude to, we budgeted approximately $20 million for a process plant in the PEA. And certainly, as you would have seen in the release, the purchase price is, depending on tech selection, either $2.75 million in cash or $3 million in cash and shares. So certainly don't want to suggest that we're saving $17 million relative to the 20 in the PEA. That being said, there are significant potential savings here from the perspective that, you know, of the $20 million in the PEA, you know, approximately $6 million or so was dedicated to just the equipment itself. And so obviously right then and there, that would suggest that we would be saving approximately $3 million relative to the PEA. But the majority of the cost for the process plant, and it will be the majority of the cost, and that exact cost will be determined as part of the pre-feasibility and engineering studies that are ongoing. is related to the labor, the demobilization, demolition as applicable, and reassembly at the Bunker Hill site. And so again, 145 miles away and dealing with, you know, Tech, who I would characterize as a first-class organization in terms of how they maintain their equipment, you know, working cooperatively with them. And we are in the process right now of selecting a contractor that's going to help us to demobilize, work on a health and safety plan with Tech, and move this plant and equipment in a very cost-effective way, an efficient way, and on a timely basis over to Bunker Hill. So long story short, we absolutely do think there are CapEx savings relative to the PEA. And that's particularly significant given one of the major themes out there right now, as everybody knows, is inflation, industry-wide inflation, CapEx blowouts, and long lead times, you know, supply chain stresses. You're seeing that, right? And as you allude to, I mean, we're not going to have to order a process plant to be delivered in a couple of years from now, manufactured in China or elsewhere. We've got it 145 miles away, which makes a huge difference. So, you know, certainly a lot of upside relative to the PEA.
Now, David, have you received any feedback regarding that 145-mile distance that is all by road from the Bunker Hill mine up to this processing plant?
Yeah.
Is that a little bit too long? Has anyone stated anything concerning about that?
No, absolutely not. And I can actually tell you, I've personally been there myself, and I've traveled that road both ways. So it is, you know, it's highway, it's interstate combined with state roadways. It's smooth, paved highway. There are contractors available that are to help us, and it's a competitive process to look at which one of those would be best suited from a cost and capability perspective to help us. And a couple of those contractors have actually worked with Tech and have experience with that mill. So, you know, we're pretty well placed here over a short distance physically to bring this mill over and install it on a cost-efficient and low-risk basis.
Well, David, could you just speak a little bit further about the staffing, where you have some of that IP and that intellectual property and knowledge from the Tech operators of the mill coming over to help with that? I would imagine that gives you a huge leg up over trying to figure it out on your own.
Well, it absolutely does. And I've spoken with some of them myself when I went to go there. And obviously, as we just spoke a couple of weeks ago, actually, it's been more than a month now, which is hard to believe. Time flies on the $50 million financing package that we secured that fulfills the majority of our capital needs in a non-dilutive manner. But as you can imagine, as part of the due diligence on that from Sprott, is they wanted to understand what our plans were. So they were part of, you know, collaboratively working with us to, you know, look at that Ponderay mill and the suitability for Bunker Hill, et cetera. And so, you know, I've personally been there. I've met some of the individuals involved. And certainly I can tell you, I have pretty high confidence in not only the condition and quality of what we're getting, but that the people, you know, that we've spoken to, you know, have the requisite expertise and experience that is, you know, suitable for Bunker Hill. And so we'll have to see how that evolves. But, you know, as part of the package, you know, we'll be getting records, and not only operational records, but care and maintenance records. And that's a huge advantage, you know, relative to ordering something brand new and then hoping it works. So it's really good.
David, can you dive into a little bit more in terms of what costs the company will need to undertake to get this mill back up and running? Because, look, you did outline that through the PEA, you were thinking it would be around $20 million for the processing plant and installation. Obviously, this initial price tag is just the initial price tag. There will be additional costs here. Any idea or handle on how high those costs could be?
Yeah, so I would say the PEA estimate that we had, you know, for the non-equipment portion, I see potential savings relative to that number. And again, you know, we've talked about the proximity, so that's a huge factor. Another thing that we're doing as part of the pre-feasibility study is we are doing final trade-off studies about the placement of the mill being underground versus on surface. So the PEA did contemplate that the process plant would be placed underground. And there are definite advantages to that, but it also involves, you know, widening portals and disassembling things more than you may have to if you were to put it on surface. Now, it should be mentioned, and, you know, we'll have a slide in our presentation on this, that there just happens to be a building right next to the administration office, which would be perfectly suited to put the plant above surface. So, you know, needless to say, you know, we're not ignoring that type of advantage. And, you know, historically that building was used for something else, but it would be perfectly suited for an above surface process plant. And so, you know, coming back to the question of the costs involved, I think part of that will, you know, depend on the answer to that trade-off study, which will be made as part of the pre-feasibility study.
David, we've talked about the cost. Let's talk about timelines here, because this really was the last piece of the puzzle you needed, as we mentioned. Can you give people, I guess, just a rough idea of what are the next sequential steps that have to happen as far as the resource, the economic studies, and the work to get things to a point where you could actually be in production down the road?
Yeah, good thing to circle back on, Chad. You know, look, our target is, we are more confident than ever in our target. And today's announcement, I think, really reinforces that, of reaching commercial production in the second half of 2023. Now, what needs to happen between now and then? Well, we need to finish the engineering studies, which include those trade-offs, as we just discussed. And we would see that concluding certainly in the second quarter, probably the beginning of the second quarter of this year. We are, as I mentioned, you know, working with Teck on a demobilization and a demolition plan. We would hope to commence that certainly by the end of the second quarter of 2022 and complete that by the end of the third quarter of this year. Then obviously we need to assemble it and construct it over at Bunker Hill. That will be, you know, that will be at least a year's process, probably 5 or 6 quarters. This is not a job that certainly happens in a couple of weeks. It's very complicated. There's a lot of engineering that goes into it, and we're starting on that engineering now. So that would take us from about the third quarter of this year to the second or third quarter of next year. And then towards the end of that is when you'd start to, you know, ramp up and commission your mill. So you'd be looking at commercial production, if all goes according to plan, which we believe it will, of the third quarter of 2023, or perhaps the fourth quarter of 2023.
So I guess just to wrap us up then, David, in terms of the plans for this year, can you summarize for everybody what some of the catalysts could be, what the main work goals are going to be this year?
Yep, absolutely. It's engineering on all fronts. That includes the plant engineering that we just talked about. It's optimizing the mine plan. It is demobilizing the mill from Ponderay and bringing it over to Bunker Hill and everything in between. I mean, you know, we're looking at appointing a general manager. You may see something come across on that front, awarding EPCM contracts, other trade-off studies, you know, including ore haulage, et cetera. And so it's all, you're going to see a lot of those catalysts start to drop over the next few quarters and months here. So concurrent with that, we've been talking about this for quite a while, but we are looking at, you know, upgrading to the TSXV. That is still in process. That's a tick mark that I personally would like to really see get across the line here. Can't control the timing to some degree, but we certainly see that happening in the near term. And that is our focus. You know, concurrent with that, we're doing some preliminary work on the London joint venture. That's the high-grade gold historical production joint venture, nil-cost option that we had entered into. You know, we believe there's potential to turn that historic resource into potentially a 43-101 resource. You know, obviously, we haven't had a chance to talk about it in this discussion, but the geophysics results got released a couple of weeks ago, and some pretty interesting results out of that, identifying some large-scale near-surface anomalies. And, you know, the exploration, the geology team will be doing further work on that to define potential surface targets. So we haven't forgotten about all the regional potential and the exploration upside potential, both at Bunker Hill and at London, but certainly the focus is on continuing to de-risk the Bunker Hill project.
Okay, David, great chatting with you. Thank you for this update. And yeah, the news today, really a big stepping point for the company to continue to move forward with the restart of that Bunker Hill mine. We'll follow up on the back of some news, especially in terms of more progress on that front. So appreciate the update today, David, and we'll chat again soon. Please keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks very much, guys. Looking forward to it.